We've been going through the plagues. We're hopefully going to finish up the first nine, and then we'll spend the next two classes talking about the 10th plague and all that that entails, and then we'll have a class for the conclusion. But let's... So I've been putting this timeline up, but I want to... So if I ask you where on this timeline the prophet Samuel fits, where would you put Samuel? What's that? Yeah. So somewhere right in here. And that's going to be relevant, if my timing is right, for us to talk about the time frame from Moses to plagues to Samuel. We've been talking about Moses and the 40 years in Pharaoh's household, 40 years shepherding, being a shepherd in Midian, and we'll get to the 40 years of wandering, which Chase and Oren are going to cover. So we're right here with the plagues. We're spending quite a bit of time right there going through the plagues. We'll walk through this. I talked about how across the top that it roughly had, in my mind, had to be less than 12 months, but the shortest it could be is about 36 days. So somewhere between 36 days and 12 months is likely the time frame for the plagues. Jonah, would you open us with prayer? Okay, so we've been working through this chart, and if I marked right, we got through the first four here, and we're ready to talk about 5, 6, and 7. That was the lesson from last week. So we'll finish that up, and then we'll get into 5, 6, 7, and we'll get into 8 and 9 in lesson 10. So judgment number 5 was what? So we got blood, frogs, gnats, and flies. What was judgment 5? What's that? Death of the livestock. So I used cattle there. Who administered that? The Lord, yeah. So, and maybe I'll wait till the next one. So the Lord administered it. Was there a warning? Yeah, there was a warning. And what was Pharaoh's response? It's a little bit unique in this one. What's he do? Yeah. So we see the division happening here with the flies, but in this one the division still exists, but Pharaoh checks to see if it's actually true. He sends someone to check to see if the Israelites were not impacted by this one. Do we have a time of day? No time of day. And Israel was impacted? No. What was the duration? Yeah, at least a day. So, and we talked about this a little bit last time. What livestock was impacted? Not all livestock. So, Egyptian livestock. What Egyptian livestock was impacted? Yeah. Only the stuff that was out in the field was impacted. And so we see, and we talked about this a little bit last time, we see God giving some opportunity to see him working and take action to prevent maybe some of this happening. And we see that in the next plague. So that goes back to the when we walk through the Egyptian gods, it's a judgment against Egypt and their gods. And so there was a god for each one of these. And Exodus actually calls it a judgment on a number of occasions. It's a judgment against, these are judgments against Egypt. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so I've been using them interchangeably, but I thought because of that it was helpful to think about them as judgments.
And I guess that's kind of how he's dealt with world leaders all along. He'll do that some more with, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and others. How they're set up to be so powerful and they're idolatrous, but then they don't want to know God, they don't want to serve him. So he deals with them. How he deals with them sometimes brings others to bear on them.
Yeah. Causes the judgment on them, yeah, from others. Anthony?
Can I clarify your comment about the which livestock were affected?
Yeah.
So this one, so it affects the livestock in the seventh plague with the males as well, and there he, like, gives them the opportunity to bring their livestock out of the field and not be affected. It seems like here, obviously there's some livestock that's still alive for the seventh plague, but it seems here that, like, he's just doing it to everybody, and then, like, the Egyptians don't have anything they can do to control it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't mean to imply that they had a heads up. I meant to imply that because this happened, they may make some assumptions in the later. And so there's this, and we'll actually get to this in the next one, is there's this idea that God is giving some level of a heads up to allow people, like the, that's why... Do you remember we talked about the first two, the magicians could replicate, the third they couldn't, but the Jewish texts believe that the third wasn't, the Israelites weren't impacted by the third one, even though it doesn't say that, it says the vision here. But it's like the one before gives some indication of what's to come after. And so we actually see that in the sixth one. So it's always this, I feel like this is pretty deep, but it does play out kind of again and again, that if you pay attention to the plague before, you could then take action to try to mitigate. You could see that this is God acting. Now I can take some action to mitigate the next plague type of thing. So that pattern kind of plays out. And so that's what I was trying to convey with number five, is they now have a leading indicator of what might happen. And so if I recognize that, hey, there's something serious going on here, and the ones in the field were killed and the ones that were housed were not, if another plague's coming, I'm going to pull my livestock in, right? If I got livestock available or left still. That's a good clarification. Thanks, Anthony. Other comments, questions? So, sixth plague. What was that one? Boils. Boils on... There's no emoji for boils, so... I didn't dig any deeper. I just went for the hot emoji. Who was impacted by the boils? Yeah. Who administered it? What did you have? Yeah. So this is one. So this pattern that I'm laying out, and we'll talk about here in a little bit. Like, if the pattern's holding true, this should be the Lord, right? And the Jewish text, the historical Jewish text, call out this pattern, and they actually assign the Lord here. I can't get that. Like, when I read it, like, I don't know. I couldn't find why, if they're trying to force the pattern. I think there's a pattern, but it doesn't. This isn't, in my mind, it says that Moses did it. But what they do then is that the plagues after this, so this kind of kicks off Moses, and the plagues after it are Moses too. And so it's kind of that precursor to what's to come in the next pattern. But to me, it was I couldn't fit the Lord. The other two, 4 and 5, are clearly called out that the Lord did it. But 6 says Moses. And then I tried to, I don't know. So the Jewish texts clearly call out that those 4, 5, and 6 are the Lord. But I that pattern didn't fit. That's why I put Moses and the Lord there. But to me, it was Moses that administered it. Was he warned? Was Pharaoh warned? It was done in his sight, but it doesn't appear to be that there is a clear warning. What was Pharaoh's response? Yeah, he didn't listen. Is there a time of day? No, no time of day. Israel impacted? I'm leaning towards the no, that everything after the plague 4 with the division is no. And how long? Have indication of time. At least a day. It's called out something specific about the boils with the magicians. What happened with the magicians?
They couldn't even try to perform because they were so afflicted.
Yeah.
They couldn't stand before Moses.
Yeah. I can't imagine having boils on me. But I do think that this gives, because after 3, we don't really hear about the magicians, but I feel like this gives some indication that the magicians continued to try to replicate it and failed, and here they can't even try to replicate it because they're in pain. But that they continue to be active and being sought out. So in Exodus 9:14, it's interesting, and we looked at this earlier. So the boils have come. 9:14 says, "For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have then been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power, in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not listening to them." And so here there's a call out that I've sent all of this to you, and you still will not yield. And so I'm going to continue to bring my plagues, to proclaim, to show you my power. And I think this is, so the writer of Romans, we talked about Romans, draws from that, this context, and saying, hey, there's a point here where God could have been done. He could have been done with Pharaoh. He's shown his power, but he continues to show his power even more, and we'll get to that here at the end. Any comments, questions on Mason?
Thank you.
that's an interesting call out. So almost like this is actually targeting specifically Pharaoh.
You and, yeah.
Yeah.
People,
yeah. Okay, that's a good call. What else? Okay. Plague 7 brings hail. Who administers the hail? What's that? So,
it says Moses brings the rod.
Yes.
But it says the Lord brought.
So it's interesting because you have some of that with 3 where you have this obviously the Lord is doing all of it, right? But there seems to be this line between was a man involved in it, or was it just called out to the, did the Lord, does it just say the Lord? And I actually went through and underlined every place where a man was involved or just the Lord. And if someone stretched out and acted or threw something or touched something, I attributed that to the man. And so I put Moses there. But yet, I mean, so in all of them, there's this connection to the Lord. But in 4 and 5, there's no mention of Moses or Aaron doing something. Was Pharaoh warned? Yeah, he was warned. And what was his response? So this is, I know I asked a question about 8 about this, but this is a new response too. What's his response here?
Yeah, he says, I sin, my people are wicked.
And he also, so there seems to be, if nothing else, lip service to it, but he says, no, I can't find it, that, yeah, so in 27, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. And so it seems like he's having a shift of heart here. But Moses calls out here specifically in 20 and 30. He says, but as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. And so he's basically calling his bluff and saying, this is not true. You've said this, but this is not true. Do we have time of day for this one? When was it? Yeah. So Israel impacted? No. And then roughly one day. So this is the one where now we have the field. So those in the field will die, and the people who feared God, what did they do? Yeah. And so we get some indication that, like, God's got the Egyptians, at least some of the Egyptians' attention, and that they're responding to that. So what's the destruction level of the hail here? Yeah, this isn't the Central Illinois hail that dents up our cars. This is the hail that destroys all vegetation. It's the hail that that people insure for, that would run the insurance companies bankrupt because of the damage that it had done.
Grievous.
Yeah.
And there was fire mixed.
Yeah. So it says the Lord brought. I don't know if it's thunder and lightning is the fire, but some of the translations were a little different on that front. But yeah, this idea of hail and fire. Okay.
There might be times when it means fire and we should read it as fire, but I feel like there's no reason to read it as fire. I mean, there are maybe plagues, but in the context of thunder and hail, it's lightning.
That would explain why translations varied in what their use of the word then, if they're layering it in. He said that there's no specific word for lightning. And so sometimes... Yeah. Yeah. Other comments on?
We've had, when I was in Texas, we had some really big hail. Like, great sized hail.
Wow.
But I don't recall, like, you know, like the trees. I'm sure some of them were broken. I'm sure some of them were
And the quantity then to bring it. And it, if it lasted a long period of time, like hours and hours, it could have. Hit by hail. God is destroying the economy of Egypt here, and even more so with the next judgment. Other comments? Okay, let's jump to the next section here. Let me read this section. Yahweh said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show the signs among them, that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your son's son what things I've done in Egypt, and that my signs which I've done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh." Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the surface of the earth so that one won't be able to see the earth. They shall eat residue of that which has escaped, which remains to you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which grows for you out of the field. Your house shall be filled, the houses of your servants, the houses of the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were on the earth to this day." He turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servant said to him, "How long will this man snare us? Let the men go, that they may serve Yahweh their God. Don't you yet know that Egypt is destroyed? Moses and Aaron were brought against Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve Yahweh your God, but who are those who will go?" Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old. We will go with our sons and our daughters and with our flocks and our herds, for we must hold a feast to Yahweh." He said to them, "Yahweh be with you if I let you go with your little ones. See, evil is clearly before your face. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve Yahweh, for that is what you desire." Then they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up out of the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail has left." Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind on all the land that day and all night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the borders of Egypt. They were very grievous. Before them, there was no such locust as they, nor will there ever be again. For they are covered the surface of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. There remained nothing green, either tree or herb of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and Aaron in haste. And he said, "I have sinned against Yahweh your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin again and pray to Yahweh your God that he may also take away from me this death." Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to Yahweh. Yahweh sent an exceedingly strong west wind, which took up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the borders of Egypt, but Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land, even darkness which may be felt." Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They didn't see one another, and nobody rose from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go serve Yahweh. Only let your flock and herd stay behind. Let your little ones also go with you." Moses said, "You must also give into the hand sacrifice and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. Our livestock also shall go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind, for of it we must take to serve Yahweh our God. And we don't know with what we must serve Yahweh until we come there." But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he wouldn't let them go. Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Be careful to see my face no more, for in the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will see your face again no more." So, plague 8. What was the 8th plague? Locusts. And so this brings, how does it say, what did the locusts eat? Yeah. Everything that was left. Who administered this? Moses did. Was he warned? Was Pharaoh warned? Yep. How does Pharaoh respond with this one? He offers to let just the men go. And so he's kind of wheeling and dealing again, but Moses has nothing to do with that. He again says that he's what? That he's sinned. Time of day? We have maybe a little time of day. The locusts come in the morning, but specifically like when it was delivered, I don't know. Israel impacted? No. And how long? Roughly, I mean, the locusts took a day to kind of form, but they were there. So this transpired over three days. It calls out. So I asked the question, what vegetation is left after the hail and the locust judgments? So this is, if you remember when we talked through the plagues, there appears to be that there had to be some time passed, because after the hail, it makes a comment that now the flax and the barley were ruined, for the barley was earlier in the ear and the flax was in bud, but the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripened later. And so it's almost like some time passed for them to ripen, for the locust to then eat that. And so what's the situation of Egypt after the hail and the locust?
Well, one verse says, and it got the fruit that had been left by the hail. So it did apparently miss something.
Yeah, so the hail wasn't total, but what's left after the locust? Nothing. Like, this is, I can't imagine, like, it would look like winter in Egypt, which probably would have been a foreign, like, so in my house during the summer I can't see any of my neighbors around me, but in the winter I can see the neighbor to my south well, because all the vegetation is gone and I can see through. I feel like this is, Egypt would have been completely stripped, and they would have been able to see for miles and miles, which would have been, I think, very strange and very humbling in the devastation that this brought. But this would have ruined them for the year. Like, this, the crop would have been gone. So I asked, what was Pharaoh's response? So he said that he had sinned, but it's different here. He adds another layer to it. How does he respond, and what does he ask of Moses and Aaron? Oh, really?
I didn't understand.
I did look at other translations, but I didn't look at the King James.
Could be a lesson.
Mine says only this once.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
This is the second time I can think he's asked for a petition.
Yeah, I think we're getting an indication that God's got Moses' attention, but God is still fulfilling his plan to demonstrate his power. But it's interesting to me the language of sin and forgive, and I don't know if Pharaoh's adopting, consuming some of that language to be able to speak with Moses. I would think if I'm Pharaoh and it's clear that I'm not winning this fight, that I'm trying to learn as much as I can about these Hebrew people so that I can converse and talk with them, and I think probably still influence, but he's using words that, like, that we recognize, that I think Moses and Aaron would recognize. But, yeah, so last time we have Moses giving his thoughts on Pharaoh's heart. Here we don't see that same context. But any other comments? Anthony?
Well, I mean, similar to the seven, between the seventh and eighth plagues, you see the similar where he says, I have sinned and treat the Lord for me. And then as soon as the plague is taken away,
yeah,
that's when he hardens his heart. So you see that it's motivated by the distress that he's currently facing and not the godly repentance that Paul talks about,
that make
changes regardless of the circumstance.
Yep. And that should be a warning to us. If our repentance only lasts as long as our punishment, that should be a pretty big red flag that we weren't penitent like we should have been. Okay. The ninth plague. What's the ninth plague? D- darkness. Who administered it? Moses. Was Pharaoh warned? No. What's his response? What's that? Yeah, get away from me. There's some negotiation. Try it again. Get away from me. And it's interesting. I tried to figure out, like, what level of understanding did Moses have on the depth of the plagues? Like, God revealed that what he was going to do in the approach, but how much did Moses know? Did he know there were going to be 10 plagues? Obviously, as time progressed, he had some level of understanding of that progression. It seems like Moses clearly knows that you're not going to see me again. You're right in saying that. And so there seems to be some indication that there's some finality coming with this, but nothing about time of day. Israel impacted. So I'm going to come back to Israel impacted. And this lasted 3 days. So I asked a question about this. So let's jump there. How is the judgment of darkness described? It was felt. So, so last year, we went to Mammoth Cave, and if you've been to a cave or a cave like that, when you get deep down in the cave, they turn the lights off, and so getting everyone to turn their cell phones off and put them away so that it was actually dark, but like you literally cannot see your hand in front of you. Like there's just no light there. Like I think about that as how deep the darkness was. But, and I don't want to read too much into this, but how was Israel different? Yeah. So it seems like it was dark for them, but they had their lights worked, which makes me think that the Egyptians' lights didn't work. And so that they couldn't even if they lit a fire, they couldn't see each other to even have any light available to them. Because it calls out that they didn't see each other and they didn't go anywhere. They stayed put. And if you, like, what a miracle. Like, I don't even know. Like, just fundamental laws of physics that, like, all things are broken there. That's not, you can't explain that away with a solar eclipse or something like that. This is serious. Like this had to have gotten attention of not even, I can't even see light from a fire. That's how dark this was. Other comments, questions? I don't remember. Maybe someone remembers. Did Moses say it was going to be 3 days? Because I don't know if they knew an end date. Like, imagine day one, day two, day three. Like, when is this going to end? Am I ever going to be able to see again? And there probably had to be an element of, like, so am I blind? Like, have I gone blind? Or can I just not, can I see and it's just darkness everywhere, right? Like, you'd have to work through, well, can you see? No. Well, are we all blind? Or is it just darkness? And then if no one's leaving, awareness of what's happening, and am I ever going to see again, type of thing. But that would mess with your mind significantly, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Don't think they had the dream ahead of time. Jeff? Sending for Moses. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would be an interesting venture. Maybe they had a calling system. I don't know. Yeah. Scott, did you? Yeah. Yeah.
So it's no surprise that that's setting them up.
Yep.
Because I think everybody's convinced that they're they already said in an earlier play, do you not realize that Egypt's destroyed? And then you have all these other people over here. That's why Moses was elevated in their sight.
Yeah, I tried, and we may bring this up in a later class, but tried to put myself, if I was an Egyptian and this is happening, what would my response be? Like, would I get up and leave with the Israelites when they go? Or would I, like, what impact would that have on me, and what would be my response? Like, clearly, likely what I've been doing is not the truth, and where do I find that, and how do I live my life differently? I think someone else had their hand up. Anthony?
I was going to make a similar comment that it shouldn't surprise us that Egyptians would tag along with the Israelites because you've seen cohorts of Egyptians that are believing and understanding that all this time you were collecting, like they're really weighed down by the power of Yahweh.
Yeah. Yeah, the 3 days of reflection is a great call out. They would nothing else to do. Yeah. Okay. So what patterns did you see in the plagues? First nine plagues. Yeah, so I think those are great.
Kurt? The other progression I see is that in the beginning, and you remember how God started with Moses, Aaron's going to help him.
Yeah.
Aaron's going to talk for him. He'll tell him what to say, he'll do it. And then Aaron's the one with the rod too. But I read this, read into it, that as you progress, it's less of Aaron and more of Moses. Moses really takes over more of the administration. To me, it reads like Moses is now doing all of the talking as well. It just progresses to that point where I guess also that Moses is the leader that God knew he was, and now Moses knows of himself too. So I know God's the one calling all the shots, but I just see that as a progression in all of this, and keeping Moses personally out there, who administered this. A couple of times it was just God himself, but normally Moses was in on that too. So people seeing Moses involved and doing it, also the Egyptians, because Moses is going to need that respect.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we see this Moses asking for something that God knows Moses doesn't necessarily need, but Moses needing to learn that and Moses coming into that role. Oren and I were talking about how Pharaoh always calls for Aaron and Moses. He doesn't call for one or the other. And if you think about it, and we didn't discuss this, but if you think about, like, Moses has been gone from the Israelites and the Egyptians, and so he comes onto the scene kind of as an, so the Pharaohs would have changed, somewhat of an unknown character, where Aaron would have been there still. Like, it appears he had some flexibility to come and go because he comes to meet Moses. But Aaron likely was an influential person with the Israelites. And so you have this, from Pharaoh's perspective, this elder of the Israelites and this somewhat unknown guy coming in. But one is clearly the leader over the other and the influencer, but constantly calling these two together, but positioning Moses as the leader of these people, and Moses sharing with the elders. Moses is the one that goes to the elders of the Israelites, but from Pharaoh's perspective, it would be interesting to the how he viewed Moses versus Aaron. Anthony? Yeah, so this was I think what Mason was calling out, what Kurt was calling out, was more of the pattern. But this is an administrative and organizational. But to me, this calls out that God is intentional. Like, this is God intentionally doing something by plan in a way, like that there's some organization to God. And so I think it's clear, in that over time people have noticed this before, but this pattern of behavior. So we're at time. I have one more thing to share. I'll pick that up at the beginning of next week, and then we'll start into the final judgment. Thanks for the